Will you please pray with me? We are just your family, and here we sit together, and we are brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ. We are going to spend eternity together, and that's just fantastic. But while we are on this side, we still need a lot of help, a lot of guidance, not only from you, but also, Lord, from each other. You meant for us to be connectional. You meant for us to be connected to one another in many different ways, not only as families at home, but also as a church family. So I'm so grateful, Lord, that we can have a place where we can meet and come together and we can talk and laugh and have all kinds of programs so that we know that we are not alone in this world as your children. This world makes it sometimes very hard for us to be a Christian. But it's great to know that we are part of a family of believers. We are grateful to know that we are part of you because it's your family. As we now move into the next section in the book of Ephesians, Lord, I will help you as we, in a sense, walk a little bit with respect into your world, that you will help me and help us understand your work and your guidance in our lives. So bless what we do here. It's not for us, it's for you and your kingdom. But thank you that you meant for us to be together while we do this. The things we asked in your name. Amen. So normally when you hear the word spirits, you know, we think about, you know, some spiritual being, you know, or some ghost that's sort of there in a house that needs to be hidden from. But today I want to talk about a different kind of spirits, this kind. Yeah, you know these bottles, and a ton of them were consumed during this, I think, holiday season. But you know what the strangest thing is that in the Bible you find Paul now come and he connects spirits with the Holy Spirit. So we are busy with the book of Ephesians. You know this well. And Ephesians has to do with us understanding what does it mean to have God coming to live with us. Jesus Christ says, I want to move in with you. Let me just tighten the thing right. There you go. My ears move so much when I speak. You know, this thing falls. I'm just kidding. So the Lord Jesus moves in with you in a sense when you say you believe in him. And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. And now Paul comes to this section where he connects spirits, alcohol, with the Holy Spirit. Why would he do such a thing? Let's find out what Paul is up to. So do not be foolish, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of our Lord. Spirits and reckless living. That's where Paul starts off. To get drunk, to be drunk. We all have seen the pictures. We all may know someone in our lives, have connected with someone, connections with someone that had an alcohol problem. In my life, I have countless of stories that I can share with you of people that struggled with this kind of addiction. And we know the moment when somebody has an alcohol addiction, then it leads to devastation. It leads to irreparable harm many times. It destroys relationships beyond what you can imagine. I've talked to so many guys in South Africa. I was part of a group that dealt a lot with people that had alcohol problems. And once I went to one of the huge conferences, and I had a few of these guys in my car, and I said to one guy, tell me your story. I've heard so many stories, but I wanted to hear his story. And all the stories are sort of similar. And the story came out how he's drinking, how what's happened with him actually made him lose his wife. He lost his job. Eventually lost his house because of divorce and the fact that he lost his job. And countless of relationships destroyed. And then a world of shame and a world of, well, destruction. And the problem is, while you are in that world, you do not know what you are doing to yourself and to others, because you have no idea. You think you're okay, but you actually are not. I had a guy that I spoke to a while ago that called this time in his life his crazy time. I said, no, it's not a crazy time. It's the time of being under the influence. I said, because when you are under the influence like you were, then in a sense you can't make good decisions because your mind is blurred. Because people who are alcoholics live to drink and drink to live. That's actually what happens. So they look at life through the bottom of a bottle, in a sense. And it's a blurry life that you look at. You can't really make good decisions. And then your actions are completely compromised. And you know, we've seen this on the roads, what people do when they drive drunk. It's completely stupid. The world under the influence that leads to reckless living. Last week, I spoke about careful living. This actually is completely the opposite. You know, but I was thinking about this when I prepared my sermon. If Paul would be living in 2026, and Paul would sit down now, and he would write this letter to the congregation in Orlando, any congregation here, I think he would have not only said, do not get drunk by drinking too much wine. He would use all the other things, and he said, don't do recreational drugs because that has the same impact on you. Don't get addicted to computer games or online games. Let me tell you today that all these addictions, in a sense, have the same path. People that are addicted to their phones or are addicted to online stuff have the same stories to tell to me. Well, their families will tell me the same story. They've lost this child because this child is not available during the day anymore, because this child is asleep, because this child is in the evenings on the computer the whole night. They don't have a relationship with this child anymore, whatever. So a world under the influence, not of alcohol, but of something else that actually distorts your thinking and your behavior. All the same. All the same. Destruction. Health. Your career. Your path. The dreams you had for yourself. The dreams that others have for you. All of them now suddenly ends. Because you are under the influence. Or therefore control of something that's not healthy for you. So why would people do this? Why would you take this path? That's one of the things that in the world of psychology, they've done a lot of studies on this to find out what is it that leads people to this road of destruction. It's mostly has to do with the fact that people can't cope with life well anymore. That you feel completely overwhelmed and you need a kind of escape to get away from what you can't deal with. You know, when I was a student, at some point, we were living as six students sort of on a property. And one guy really struggled a little bit with certain things. And when it was time for our final exams at the end of our university school year sort of a thing, this guy started to go to the movies. He would go and watch two or three movies a day. And I said, when are you studying? He said, no, I'll try when I'm done with the movies. But eventually, he had to end these studies because he tried to escape from what lied ahead of him to go to the movies. The movies was like an addiction. So why do people do this? Because they want to escape pain. Emotional pain, physical pain, relationship pain, the pain of not feeling worthy, the pain of feeling insufficient, the pain of that I do not have the tools to deal with this world that surrounds me. I've spoken to countless of guys that started to get under the influence after they went through a divorce or lost their jobs or had some life crisis that they had to deal with. Women that became addicted to chocolate or other things that is not healthy for you. You know I like chocolate, but not too much. After they moved because there was this crisis that they had to deal with. So there's a ton of stuff that surrounds us that makes it hard to live. I and Finance is there in the church, and Henri, when they were this big, I would grab them sometimes by their legs. They know what I'm going to tell now. I would hang them upside down and slowly, brought them down to the floor until the heads would hit the carpet and say, remember now, life is not without pain. They didn't experience any pain, but just reminding them that life upside down is sometimes a possibility. This was not new in the world of Paul. Remember now, in the Old and New Testament, the people had beer and wine. They many times had to drink a lot of beer and wine because they didn't have fresh water. They didn't have faucets like us do, and in Jerusalem was sort of a dry city. If you go to Jericho, there's no water almost in Jericho. It's a very dry little town. So counters of these little towns didn't have really that much water, so they had beer and wine, and that's how they actually provided. And Paul saw the impact that being under the influence had on the lives of people. Now Paul comes and he says, you know, if I look at someone that's under the influence, that means under the control of a substance or something that he or she is addicted to that controls their mind and their actions. There's a different option. There's a biblical option for this. Because life is difficult. And biblically, life is difficult. There is no place in the Bible that I can find where the Bible tells me you're going to have this fairy-type living where everything is just fantastic. That's nowhere to be found in the Bible. The story of the Bible starts with sin and people walking away from God, and the next story is Cain kills Abel, a murder. That's how the stories start in the Bible, with a relationship crisis where one child kills another child and a family is devastated by this. Now Paul comes and he says, you know, as you and I face life, we've got many different things that surround us that we can use as the escape to get away from this. He says, but I want you to know there's a different option. For you guys, it's part of a church that knows Christ, that knows God. And that's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that he used to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Most people think that when the Holy Spirit came into this world, it's like you're filling up a glass of water and the other glass is full and it's now water is overflowing to the sides. So the thing is completely full and it's overflowing and it's now done. And it's not how the Holy Spirit works. And I'll get to that in a moment. The Holy Spirit is a person that works in a different kind of way. But eventually what Paul is trying to say is that there's an option for us that is given to us by God that can fill this gap, this need that we have to be able to control life. Control, not life, to control ourselves a little bit as we face life. What does it mean? We need to understand something about the Holy Spirit. So let's get to this. I think a lot of people do not know much about the Holy Spirit. And you always hear that the Bible tells us, or a pastor would say, you need to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So a large number of people think that the Holy Spirit is like a power. It's like a lightning strike. There's nothing, and then a lightning strikes from heaven and hits this tree and the thing bursts into flames, but then the lightning is gone and the tree is still burning, but the power that ignited this thing is gone. So a lot of people think that's how the Holy Spirit works. It's the power that God uses, changes something and then whatever. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. What the Bible teaches us is that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and we know this well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And people many times struggle to understand this whole Trinity concept, but I'm going to quickly just remind you of how I would like to explain it to people that does not understand it fully. This is my hand. This is called a hand, this part of my body. This is a thumb, fingers, and the palm of my hand. I would tell you, oh, I injured my hand yesterday, but actually what happened was I cut a few fingers, but it still means I hurt my hand. Or I hurt my thumb, or I hurt my palm, but it's hand. Fingers, palm, thumb. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are connected to each other. They can't work individually. This is one unit called God. With respect. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They each have their own role to play, but we call them God. With the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit that is united in all that they do. What is the role then of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus was here, he told his disciples, I'm going to leave you guys. I'm going to die. So, but no, you're not going to die. He said, I'm going to die. And I'm not only going to die, I'm going to ascend back into heaven. I need to be with my Father in heaven. And the disciples completely lost it. To them, it was devastating news to hear that the one that they gave up everything for to follow is leaving them. Imagine you and I would be following Jesus. So you're sort of aren't working that much anymore. You are following Jesus. And then he says, oh, I'm going to leave you. Oh, what now? He says, but don't worry. John chapter 16, 14, 15, 16. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to be with you. You see, while Jesus was here, he was geographically in one spot. He would be in Orlando. And while he was in Orlando, he couldn't preach then in Tampa or in Miami. Because he had to go from one town to the other town because he was physically here on this earth. He said, when I leave and Holy Spirit comes, I'm everywhere. I'm not only in Orlando, I'm in Tampa, Miami, and I'm everywhere where people meet, know me, are part of me. That's what the Spirit of God means. But then he says the Holy Spirit will come not only to be there for you, but the Holy Spirit has a specific role that he plays in the lives of people. Firstly, the Lord says, I'm sending you the Comforter. Now these guys wore outer clothing, and the outer clothing that they wore were extremely rough on their skin because it was made of very rough material. Material was very expensive during this time. So you would have a few or three or four overgarments that you would wear. But underneath that, you would have one extremely expensive piece of garment that was woven very finely to protect your body from the stuff that you are wearing on the outside that could scratch you and was not that easy. That was called the Parakletos in Greek, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit will be like this undergarment that you wear to protect you from the harshness of what's right next to your skin. That's the first thing that the Lord teaches us about the Holy Spirit, that God wants to be involved in our lives to comfort us. God knows about the rubbish and the nonsense and the pain and the suffering we are all going through. God says, I'm not immune to what you are experiencing. I actually want to help you with this world that you guys have created. I don't want to leave you alone. And the way I'm going to do it is to send you my Spirit to be with you, to comfort you. The second thing is that the Lord himself said, and the Holy Spirit will come to remind you of my words. Go and find this. It's in John chapter 14. He says, the Holy Spirit will come to remind you of my words, because the Lord knew when he left what would be behind, stay behind, only his words. He's not there anymore. And some took notes and the others probably did not take notes. They didn't have all the equipment we have to take notes. So it was a laborsome process and they had to remind each other what the Lord said. He said, no, the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, if you pick up your Bible and you start to read this book, the same Holy Spirit that helped Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John to write the Gospels is present when you open this book. He helped them to remember the words that Jesus said, to write them down. He said, I will help you remember the words that I said as they wrote it down and you're reading it, that it can be a part of your world. Because the Holy Spirit is not a power that comes and disappears. It's a person that talks to us. Wants to have a relationship with you and me. Wants to be a part of our journey. And the way he does it is by saying, I'm there as the presence of God in your life. I'm the comforter that wants to help you. But the way I do it is through the words of Jesus. You stop reading your Bible, coming to church, trying to find out what God's will is for you, your life will become very lonely and dark, I promise you. Because we need the presence of God, and we need his words in our life to help us. I'm now reading in my personal Bible study. I normally read pieces in the New Testament and pieces in the Old Testament. But I'm now in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Don't read the book of Proverbs. It's the most stunning book of wisdom you can imagine. About life and about living and about basic life stuff. Normal stuff that you and I need to deal with on a daily basis. How to deal with a guy that treats you badly. How to treat people that the Bible calls fools. How to treat financially, your world financially. How to handle yourself. Go and read the book of Proverbs. Given to us by Solomon and other people, but mostly Solomon. And when I pick up that book, I realize the same Spirit that gave Solomon his wisdom. Remember, he asked for wisdom. Helps me now to hear the words that God wants me to know about 2026. Holy Spirit is also there to empower us, and that just means to give us strength. strength to face life and the problems that's out there. And how does the Holy Spirit do this? The Holy Spirit reminds me that He's present in our lives. That God will not abandon us, even though I sometimes feel He's gone. And then the Holy Spirit is here to guide us. That is the most important thing that most people need in their lives, is guidance. And that's so stupid to go to Casadega. Don't even drive through that town. You stay away from that place. That's the world of the occult. You don't go there. I promise you, you don't go there. That's the world of the occult that the Bible tells us that as a Christian, you don't even enter. There are all these people that are trying to tell you your fortune and tell you what you need to do about life, all that nonsense. Don't go there. Where you go? You go to the Word of God and you find your guidance there. Because God says, I will guide you through this world because that's my promise to you. Now, the Holy Spirit, for some people, think it's an emotion. I need to feel the Spirit. No, it's a reality. There are some churches that claim that they have the power of the Holy Spirit in their hands. Some Pentecostal churches. But that's not how it works. It's not, you can't create an emotion and say, because you've got this emotion now, you've got the Holy Spirit. That's nonsense. Emotion, God is not dependent on your emotions. You can feel as far away from God as the moon from the earth. But God is still with you because He says, I don't care how you feel. You need to trust me in my word. That's irrelevant to your feelings. Now, how do I get filled by the Holy Spirit? And I'm almost done. Now, Paul comes and he says, by singing, making melody in your heart. So the choir, they've got it. Or the band. Next week, the band. Oh, man, guys, band, you're going to have 500 people up on the stage next week. Because all of us want to have the Holy Spirit. Paul, what are you doing here? Be filled with the Holy Spirit by singing. Making melody in your hearts. Giving thanks. Why would he say, that gives you and me access to the work of the Holy Spirit? Because it's biblical. What do you do when you start to sing a hymn? What do you do when you start to praise God? You focus on Him. What do you do when you start to pray for someone? You know that I've got, when I run, you know this, when I've got these trees allocated to people that needs prayer. So when I run, I see the street, oh, tree, oh, I still need to pray for this person that is not doing well. And as I pray for this person, I start to think about this person, and that person becomes important to me in that moment because I'm thinking of that person. And then many times during the day, it will still come back to you because I prayed for someone. What is happening in his or her life? If I didn't have my tree to remind me of this person, I would probably forget to pray for that person, not even have that person in my thinking the whole day. But my stupid tree reminds me of people that I need to pray for. Paul comes and he says, if you wake up in the morning, you say, praise the Lord my God that I am still here. Thank you for being my Lord and my God. Your thoughts go up to God. You think about God and God will respond immediately through His Spirit to let you know I'm with you. How does He do it? Not always in a feeling, but in a kind of assurance. Try it. I've done it many times in my life. If you feel far away from God, if you feel lonely, if you feel your life is messed up, if you are struggling with the problems of life, start to just in your mind say, God, you're a good God. You're a great God. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your world and your kingdom and the path that I'm on, that you are with me. The moment when you think more about God, I promise you there will be a kind of peace that will enter your minds and your souls that Paul says, no, the Lord Himself said the world will never grasp or understand. Because it's a peace that's not available in the world. It's only available through God and with God. So, it doesn't always mean to burst out singing. That will be a little bit stupid. You sit at your work at your desk and you feel lonely. And the next moment, praise the Lord Almighty. They will say, what's wrong with this guy? You know, get security. No. You do it in your mind. You sit at your desk, you're driving your car, and you just say, praise the Lord, O my soul. Who are you, O Lord, the God who created this universe, to think of me? You walk outside, you look at the sky. Did you see the sunset a few evenings ago? It was red. It was the most stunning sunset I've seen in a long time in my life. It was orange, and then it turned red, and it was as red as Jack's shirt. Then you think about God. Not only a sunset. God, you made this. You gave me the ability to see color. God could have made us see black and white. He gave us the ability to see color, that we can see His creation and His beauty, so that we may be able to acknowledge Him and think about Him. So singing, this whole singing idea has to do with just focusing your mind on God. Second thing is giving thanks. To acknowledge is the benefits you receive. Paul says to do it always. We complain so much. We have these lists of prayers. Lord, help me with this, help me with this, with that, whatever. But maybe we should start in the opposite and thank God for all the stuff that He gives us. I see countless of couples in relationship crises, and they always have lots of issues. And I would sometimes say to them, hey, go and make a list of the good things that is still in this relationship. And many times people would come back with a long list of good things. Say, well, I forgot about these things. I said, yeah, the moment when you start to think about positive things, then more come. And then it is as if the negative thing starts to disappear. Start to give thanks for God for what you have. The ability to think, to walk, to talk, to have relationships, to breathe, to see, whatever. Always in His name, in the name of Christ, and then focused on God the Father, He says. And then my final slide. The first, verse 17, that I read, Paul says, don't be stupid. Last week I preached about living carefully, and I said, don't be stupid. The word stupid is in the Bible. It means to not, stupid in the Bible means that you have the ability to make good decisions and you make the wrong one. It has nothing to do with intelligence, nothing to do with your training. It has to do with you that have all the tools and you don't use them. Paul starts off by saying, children of God, don't live foolishly. The world will offer you all kinds of ways to escape the reality of this world, but none of them will work. It will actually bring more harm and more problems than it can cure anything. And we know that's true. He says, for us as children of God, there's a different way of looking at life. And the way of looking at life is to know that God is with me. That I need to live under His influence. I need to allow Him to control my mind and my actions. And the only way that I can allow Him to control my mind and my actions is when I'm making important in my life. When people are alcoholics, they can't be at a place where there's not alcohol. You talk to those guys. They will not go to a party that's dry. They will go to a party where there's alcohol to drink. And if there's not alcohol, they will take their own and will hide it anywhere to have their alcohol there. Their whole life is about getting this thing that they desperately need. With respect, Paul comes and he says, you need to not want to go anywhere if you can't take God along with you. Because God wants to be there with you. Because He wants to help us. He wants to satisfy that emptiness, that hole in our lives that we sometimes struggle with. A different kind of controlled action is when you are praising God in the morning when you wake up, when you are thanking Him for your life, when you look in His Word, what is it that you want of me? You will find the answers that is God-driven and God-given and God-empowered. And you and I may go through a day and be a bit different because I know I'm not alone. It's irrelevant what happens because I'm on a journey with God to His kingdom. Not to this world kingdom. And that's the problem. When I focus on God, it's not about this world anymore. It's about God. Then it's irrelevant what happens in this world, or I don't care. politically and whatever. I'll vote and do whatever I can, but will I lie awake at night because of all the crises in the world? No, there will be a new one tomorrow. Because I serve a different kingdom, a kingdom that I know I'm a part of, and that is the most assurance that I can have about my life, that God has given me value, God is with me on this journey, and God will take care of me, even though the world tells me I'm maybe useless. Don't validate me. Don't care for me. Even though my relationships may fall apart and I may lose my job and all kinds of bad things may happen with me, at the end of the day, if I look at the Bible, it's the journey of people that believes in God is many times filled with pain, suffering, and hardship. But God always brought them to where He wanted them to be. He never lets us wander around in the wilderness without bringing us to the promised land. A different outcome, a kingdom reward. Life is going to happen to all of us in 2026. It's going to be interesting. I can try to hide from it or to try to use stuff that the world gives me to soften the blows. Or I can seriously start every day by allowing the Holy Spirit to chat with me, to talk to me through the Word, through my praises, through just thinking about God. That is the answer that God wants you to know, to have for this year. Amen.